Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. I want to say, start off first of all, say that this year has been really interesting for all of us here in there in Irapuato. I thought I was originally going to be going to Morelia to work with Joey, and then he decides that the Lord has called him to go to Poland. But and that's okay. That's great. You know, I was really excited for him and for Brother Brent, and that leaves me with Brother Bill in that leaves me with Bill in Irapuato. But that's great too. I really have enjoyed my time with Bill since Brent and Joey have left. It's been real interesting, and it's been a time of adjusting too. Because you know, when you have four preachers preaching and teaching and doing the work, and then two just up and leave, you know, you got a lot of slack. You know, you got some shoes to fill. You know, yeah. It's just weird. You know, I don't know how to explain it. And also in Mexico, you know, like Michael said. Right now, the people there are feeling a crunch, you know, the peso, you know, devaluated and all that. And the brothers in the church are hurting, you know, they're not doing well. And to me, as an elder, as a preacher, as their pastor, as their friend, as their brother, man, it really hurts me. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't know what to do sometimes, you know. And it's really amazing to me that God has chosen, you know, the Bible says that God has chosen the weak things. I mean, the foolish things, you know. God has chosen the weak, you know. God has chosen the base. God has chosen the things that are despised, you know, to preach the gospel, you know. People like us to take it to other parts of the world and to evangelize and to preach the name of Jesus. And at the same time, he's also putting these same people over churches to guide them and to teach them, you know. And sometimes I'm put in a spot where I don't really know how to answer, you know. And my heart kind of goes out to them, and I don't know what to do. You know, it's like, you know, they tell me their problems, and I just don't know what to do sometimes. And I just want to ask you prayers in that you know, the Lord gives me wisdom. And doing this, you know, cause, I mean, before I had Brent and Joey, you know, and, now it's just me and Bill, you know, and it's just kind of rough. Anyways, look in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. I'll try to stand still this time. I know last year I did a lot of walking around, but, Marty said that her neck hurt after I got done preaching, but you gotta understand, in Mexico, we dodge cards, you know, cars sometimes, and you know, pesos and stuff, and yeah, you know, and so we kind of walking around all the time and looking on our back and, you know, making sure we still have a, you know, we're still there, you know, but, so a pulpit is kind of, this is kind of fancy for me, so anyways. Okay, here we go. Acts chapter 20. You know, the Bible says that we should mark men. You know, we should also mark people in the church that cause division, you know, and the Bible says we should avoid them. You know, but the Bible says that we should mark some men, you know, and you know, I've really enjoyed, you know, Paul in the New Testament. He's a man that God had chose, you know. God saved him just like he saved all of us. But he also chose him to do something. He said, he told Ananias that he will take the gospel, you know, to the Gentiles. He was chosen to take this gospel, not to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And this is something very special. You know, God chooses men to do certain things. God chooses people to stay. God chooses people to have a ministry where they're at. And God chooses people to go on to somewhere else and to take the gospel. You know, this is the way God does it. And I can't tell you how you know what you're supposed to do, you know. But I can tell you this much, the same way you knew that you were saved, you know, the same way God spoke to you and said, you're mine, you're sanctified, you're saved, I bought you, it's the same way God's gonna tell you what to do. You're gonna have that peace, you're gonna know, you know, and that's one thing, you know, when they were talking about going to Poland, Bill and Brent, at the beginning, you know, Bill told me something that stuck to my head, you know, and he said, you know, I don't want, this was after Brent already decided to leave, and Bill was still kind of still thinking about it. And Bill said that he didn't want to go unless he knew for sure that the Lord called him. You know, because there's going to be problems. You know, when you get there, there's going to be problems. You know, things are going to happen, and if you don't have that call, if you don't know for sure this is what God wanted me to do, man, you're not going to make it. You know, and even though I have problems now, even though, you know, I mean, I'd love to come back right now, you know, while Bill was up here, I was down there for a little over 2 weeks by myself, Karen and I, and I was preaching out there, and, you know, I would have loved to come back and tell Bill, man, Bill, I mean, I got lots of studies, you know, I got my whole list all filled out, you know, I mean, I'm doing a lot down there without you, you know, but I didn't. You know, actually, I only got one study, and that was from a guy who was already coming, you know, to the church. And, you know, I finally just went up to him and said, hey, look, you know, don't you think it's about time you start studying the Bible with us? And he said, yeah, okay, when? And so he started studying. So, but he was already there. And so, you know, I mean, I didn't have that. And every time I went out to preach, you know, the only people I talked to was Jehovah's Witnesses, you know? The only people I talked to were charismatic Catholics. The only people I talked to were just people that weren't interested, you know? They're just giving me a hard time. I talked to, the last night I preached there, I talked to, Luz del Mundo. I don't know what that is in English, but, well, I mean, I know what it is, but I don't know what the name of it is in English. The group. Luz del Mundo? Light of the World? Oh, okay. It's only in Mexico. I didn't know that. Well, anyways, I talked to them, and they're kind of whacked out. But you know, I mean, I sit there, and I, you know, I said, well, Lord, you know, there's no one else out here. And sometimes I just feel like just while I'm preaching, just screaming to the Lord and just saying, you know, what am I doing? I'm going hoarse here. No one's listening. No one even. It seems like no one cares. You know, what's going on? But you know, I go home, and I think about it, and I say, well, you know, what am I doing wrong? And what's going on? But then I start thinking, you know, I know I'm supposed to be here. Amen. I know I'm called. Amen. You know, and then I start going that way. And even though I'm not seeing any fruit, you know, I mean, I know in the Bible, God works with people, you know. God takes people out in the desert sometimes, you know. God didn't let them see too much for a while, you know, but I'm praying that the Lord will. Anyways, verse 17, he says, and from, how do you say that word? Miletus? Okay. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying on weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you and have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, this is what we try to do. You know, just like Michael preached, you know, right now, we try to have Bible studies. You know, we try to get these people to commit to a time to where we can go and show them the gospel, because the truth is they don't read the Bible. They don't know the first thing about the Word of God, you know. All they know is their religion, you know, and people think that that's it. You know, Paul here, he's talking to the elders of the church in Ephesus, and he says that you know what kind of manner of man he was, you know. He was telling them from the first day that he got converted, that there was nothing else that mattered to him but to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his mission. That he had from the time that the Lord opened his eyes, he says, this is what counts. This is what matters. What's important to God? People are important to God. The word, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to get published is important to God. This is what God wants. This is what we're trying to do. You know, I mean, this church, when it first started, they prayed for laborers. You know, the Bible says to pray to God, and He will send laborers. Well, you know what? God has sent laborers. You know, God has sent people to Mexico and now to Poland. You know, and He's going to send people. And you know what? It's our responsibility to take this gospel to these people. Now, look what it says here. He says in 20, He says, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." Well, you know what's profitable to this church right now, this week, is for you to listen to these messages. You know, listen to what we got to say, and listen through us. You can know what's going on. You know that these people are dying, and these people are going straight to hell without hearing this. Without hearing this, you know, this is just amazing to me. You know, before I was saved, before I heard anything about the gospel, you know, I mean, I thought I was okay, just like them, you know, just like everybody who doesn't read the Bible, you know, who, everything's okay. God's a Santa Claus, you know, He's going to reward me in that day. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to read the Bible. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to believe the way you do. You guys are fanatics, man. I don't got to do what you got to do, you know. I'm going to go to heaven anyways. And that's a lie. That is a lie. And it comes straight from hell. That's nothing close to what God wants. But I tell you what, He says that I held back nothing that was profitable. And what's profitable here is that we hear the Word of God. Now look over here in Galatians. This is what Paul also wrote this. And Paul was a servant of God, like I said, from day one. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. This is a verse that many of y'all probably have this memorized, but this is Paul's words. He says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." I tell you what, the grace of God is so, it's almost, can't even comprehend it sometimes, you know? How God, through His grace, chose the church to take this gospel to the lost world. You know, just by the grace of God, I'm standing here and I'm born again. Just by the grace of God, you're sitting there and you're born again. By the grace of God. And Paul understood this. And he said, look, I've crucified this flesh, man. This flesh is nothing. We're only here for a short time, and I'm going to do something that's profitable. I'm going to take the gospel to somebody and I'm going to preach it so they can get saved. And I tell you what, Paul is our person that brought this gospel to the Gentiles, to us. He brought this thing, and it's still, I mean, he was chosen. He was chosen, and he brought fruit. And the fruit is still standing. Look, right here, this is it. This is the fruit. Now look, I want you to also look, Ezekiel 33. Something that caught my eye when I was reading this. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 8. It says here, "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." You know, I don't understand that last part. I don't understand why God said that his blood will I require at thine hand. You know, God is not requiring us to bring out numbers, you know, but he is requiring us to take the gospel, to preach the gospel, you know. But Paul also said that he was clean from the blood of all men. You know, he preached the gospel. You know, he's not saying that everybody he preached to got saved, but that he did it. He preached the gospel, you know. And I mean, this is our responsibility. You know, people die all the time, and a lot of Christians just sit back like, hey man, I'm saved and that's it. You know, that's all I need to do. You know, they come and they play church and that's about it. You know, praise God they're saved, but my goodness, there's a lot of people going to hell. You know, and I mean, this, something that I thought about too, you know, and the brother said that a lot of these people are first generation Christians, you know, like you mentioned, Marty. A lot of these people are, and they go through some hard times, you know. The other night, me and Chewy were preaching, and and Chewie went to go talk to this lady at this store, and they started giving, there's like about four or five people outside, they started giving them a hard time saying, hey, the only reason you're out here is because they bought you, you know, they give you money, and all this stuff. The guy takes ridicule at work, you know, the guy's trying to read his Bible at work, you know, and he gets slammed all the way around, you know, saying the only reason why he's meeting with the Americans is because they're giving him stuff. I mean, this is what they go through all the time. I tell you what, man, these people are trying to live for the Lord, and they're saved, and they're trying to do something, and these are things that we take for granted sometimes back home. You know, it's like, hey man, you know, no one cares anymore. But people are being changed over there. God's word is going out. People are getting changed. Their lives are being transformed, but not in great numbers. I'd love to come back and tell you that, man, we got 300 people meeting in Irapuato, but I can tell you there's 300 people meeting in León. And to me, that's a blessing, you know, that out of them, out of just a few, I mean, what? When the brothers left León, there was probably, what, 40, 50 people meeting there. Now, 300 people, man. And I'm telling you, last year when we had the conference over there, we probably preached to about, what, 200, 180 around there. And from that conference, bam, they just took off, started street preaching, and now they're up to 300. That's almost double, you know? I mean, they're up to 300 now. The word's going out. They're doing it. They're starting to preach God's word there in their own land. And that's our purpose, you know? Paul took the word there, got people to preach the gospel, and it's just gone on from there. This thing is something that we need to understand, is that if people don't hear, man, they're gonna die in their sins. They're gonna die in their own sins. They're gonna go straight to hell. I think this is our own responsibility to do this. Now, turn back to Acts again, chapter 20. And it says here, in 22, it says, And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, the bounds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Know this, brethren, that this man, all the problems that he had, that the Lord told him from the beginning, you will suffer many things in my name. Suffer many things, you know? And Paul went and did this, you know? And aside from all this, he still had joy.
Amen.
Aside from the sufferings, aside from problems, he still had joy. And he didn't count his life. He said, my life is nothing. It's crucified with Christ, but I'm doing this. The reason why it doesn't matter, the reason why, you know, I'm not letting it bother me is because I'm going to have joy in so I can run my course with joy and preach the gospel. I mean, this is it, man. But sometimes I think we get too accustomed with our lives. I like not being bothered, you know? I mean, I like peace, you know? I don't like to go and cause a big problem, you know, with other people or whatever, you know? But I mean, this is worth it. You know, this is worth standing in the middle of the street and telling them you're wrong. You know, a lot of people think, man, the way you do it, it's not right. You know, you actually go there and you tell them that their images are dolls. I mean, come on, you know, that's not preaching in love. What do you want me to do? Lie to them? They've already been lied to enough.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't see this with anybody in the Word of God. They didn't go there and try to sugarcoat the gospel. They told them exactly the way it is. Exactly the way it is how we should tell them. It's the only way they're going to repent. It's the only way they're going to know the truth, is if we tell them. Look in 2 Timothy 4:16. 2 Timothy 4:16. It says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now look at this. Another thing I saw here is that Paul, it didn't matter to him that people were with him. You know, he said, the Lord's with me, and that's good enough. And I'm going to go and I'm going to take this so people can hear. Not everybody got converted from Paul's preaching. But I tell you what, a lot of people did. A lot of people did, and God knows who they are. Man, we're just vessels here. We're just people, instruments, and we're not much of an instrument, you know? I tell you what, I mean, I'm nothing, you know? And I hope God always reminds me that I'm nothing, you know? And that through Him, people are saved, and not through me. Man, it's not, you know, I don't got pretty words. I don't know sometimes, you know, how to even speak sometimes, you know? But it doesn't matter. What's here is the truth, and God can use it. When I preach it, God can use it, and the Holy Spirit can save them. And that's what it is, man. God's not looking for great men. God's not looking for strong men. No, God's looking for somebody with a willing heart. Somebody who that can take this gospel, somebody that God can transform, can mold into something good. Now look, if you will, in 1 Chronicles 28. I thought of somebody else here when I was thinking about men of God. And this is David talking to his son Solomon. And he says in 28 verse 10, it says, "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." And verse 20 says, "David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Now here David, and we'll read right now in 29 where he got all the material together to construct this temple. But God isn't going to let David do it. He called his son to do it, you know? And here David is telling his son, look, just do it. God has chosen you to do this. Now you do it. God said, He'll be with you. He'll be with you constructing this. And He's not going to leave you until it's all done. I tell you what, God's not going to leave the church. God's not going to leave the preachers. God's not going to leave us here just on this earth until it's all done. And then He's going to come back. The Bible says, man, when that trumpet sounds, boom, we're out of here, man. And we're going to take all our fruit with us. Everybody that's heard the gospel and believed are going with us, man. That's the time of rest. That's the time when we're going to be with the Lord, praising His name. Not no denomination. Not no person. We're going to be praising the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's worthy. He's the one why we're doing this, man. I tell you what, right here it says here, be strong and of good courage and do it. You know, that's it. There's no formula. Just do it. Just do your part. If you got a heart, if you got a willing heart, just do it. You know? Maybe that's where they got that Nike slogan, huh? In 29, it says in verse 5, David has just talked about getting all the material together, and now he's talking here to the people, and he says, in verse 5, he says, The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers, yeah. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands of hundreds with rulers of the king's work offered willingly, the Bible says. David, he did his part. He got together everything of his. The Bible said it was his stuff that he put together, that he got, and he consecrated to the Lord. He said, this is what I give to God to build this temple. And then he asked the people, he said, who is willing to consecrate their service to the Lord? And the people responded. Their people did respond. I tell you what, God is also asking people now, today, who's willing? Who's willing to do something for the Lord? Are you supporting a missionary? Are you witnessing? What are you doing? What are you doing for the Lord? And look what else happens here. It says in verse 9, he says, then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. You know, there's a motto that I heard, you know, a saying, it says, give till it hurts. You know, you ever heard that? Give till it hurts. Well, you know what? God doesn't work that way. You know, God doesn't want you to give it something if it's going to hurt you. You know, if you don't want it, if it hurts you to give your money, if it hurts you to give your time, man, just keep it. Amen. You know, just keep it. God don't need it. It's His anyways. It's His anyways, but you're just too dumb to figure that out. Amen. You know, I mean, it's His. He gave it to you. You know, everything I got is of the Lord's, you know, and if the Lord takes it away, man, I pray that I'm strong enough, that I've learned enough to say, God, you know, I came in here naked and I'm going out naked. You know, it's all yours. It's all yours, and it's all for the glory of God. Look what also he says, and I'm gonna end off here in 29, 14 and 15. It says, but who am I? Here's David speaking. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own hand have we given thee. For we are strangers and before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on this earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. You know what? That's exactly the way Paul felt. You know, but Paul redeemed the time. You know, Paul redeemed his time here, and he said, this is what God wants me to do. I'm going to preach the gospel to the end. And that's what he did. And a lot of people did it after him. A lot of people got persecuted. A lot of people got killed just to bring us this book right here. This book is a sacrifice of many people. Many, many people. And it's all God's word. God fulfilled it. God did it. I tell you what, he's going to do the same thing all the way to the end. And man, we're just pilgrims here, and we got to remember that. This is not our home. We await something a whole lot better. And that's in heaven. And I'm waiting that day till I can rest. I mean, really rest. Right now I'm resting in the Lord. I know I'm saved. I know if I die right now, I have no fears. But one day, man, is gonna come the real big time rest. And I'll be kicking back in my mansion, praising the Lord. Amen. That's the promise that he gives to the believer. And that's the promise that we take to the world.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.